You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together.
Hi, everyone. This is Kara and Helen from MomTalk.ca. Do the words, time for bed, send your toddler into meltdown mode, or have them running to their beds with glee? Today, we're going to discuss what has and hasn't worked for our members here at CanadianParents.com. Establishing routines, proper naps, crying it out, or the family bed are all things we'll talk about today. If you're the parents of a toddler or soon-to-be toddler, this is the show for you. So, Helen, I know that you're big into routines, and I know that you don't have toddlers anymore, but what worked for you when your children were toddlers?
Well, I know when Emmy was born, I decided from the get-go that we were going to have a bit of a schedule just for our own sake. And I was really glad as she got older that we had established a routine. So when I said that it was bedtime, it was just kind of matter of fact, and she just knew that that's what we did. Now, with Sam, we did it kind of in the same way, but by then we kind of, life was already on the go with Emmy, so we didn't have as predictable a routine. And I actually found with him that if we didn't have a fairly set routine, that he had a difficult time just understanding the whole concept of it's time for bed. But I think that just having a time, not a time like an actual time, but having certain things that we did every night was what made bedtime easier for us. Not to say that we didn't still struggle like everyone else, but when I did have success, it was because we had a routine.
Exactly, yeah. And I found actually a couple of quotes here from parents and when we asked about bedtime rituals for toddlers. And there was one quote from mom to Dylan, and she says, "I'm pretty lucky with Dylan at bedtime. Most nights he'll have a bath minutes before bed, and it's usually right into his bedroom to get dressed. We both climb into his bed to read a story, then the lights go out, music goes on. I cuddle him for one or two songs, then we give kisses and hugs, and I leave the room." She said, "There are some nights, like if his dad is home, that he'll run out to the living room and try to hide behind dad, make me catch him, but it's in pure fun, not a fight. He does give my husband a harder time sometimes, but usually he just wants him to cuddle longer until he falls asleep. And that's my husband's fault for giving in." I think that doing this sort of routine with bath, story time, brush teeth, bed, it seems to be that's what toddlers need. They need that consistency.
Yeah, definitely. We used this book when the kids were little that is no longer available. But the idea of the book was great. And it was just basically little cards, and you put the cards in the order of how you did things. And I think you could easily, you know, go on the internet and get some clip art and make your own little book. So it was basically build whatever your routine is. So for us, it might have been bed, brush your teeth. Sometimes we'd have a little Disney sing-along story. So the book would be, each one of these was a picture. So they could go through the book and say, okay, here's our first one. Okay, we're done that. Now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. So for kids who kind of need a bit of a visual schedule to get them from one point to another, that kind of a book, or if you make your own, I think is really helpful to get them started. And then for some kids, they hang on to it and they really enjoy having that. And it is almost part of their routine to get their book out and see what they need to do.
Definitely. What happens when you have a toddler that's reluctant at bedtime, that they're either just so overtired or so undertired because they've maybe had their nap time at 5 o'clock, which sometimes happens in my house because sometimes we're just too busy during the day to get our nap time routine down. This is, I guess, when we're going to kind of go into a proper nap.
Yeah, well, I think actually just backing up to maybe being reluctant to the routine, I think if they haven't ever established a routine of going to bed, then that may be part of the problem. If they've already had a routine of getting ready for bed and all of a sudden they're no longer doing it, then I think naps probably can play a role. But I think on both sides, one, they may be sleeping too much during the day and they're not tired, or they are not sleeping enough and they're so overtired that they're just not able to even relax. And you've probably experienced it like I have and many other parents, where it's almost like they start moving towards being out of control. And once they get to that point, then it's almost impossible to turn it around. And as a parent, you're tired by the time bedtime comes. So when you have a child who maybe normally does go to bed and all of a sudden they're reluctant to do it, and then the stress goes up, and then it's like 2 and 3 hours later, they still aren't going to sleep, I think that it makes for a not very great environment for anybody. So I know for me, when Sam was young and we were trying to move away from the daytime naps because he didn't require that much sleep, he would sleep during the day, but then it would affect his nighttime sleep. He went to a daycare once a week, and I would say to them, he is not allowed to have an afternoon nap. He can sit and read or whatever, quiet. Like, I didn't want to interrupt their schedule, but I didn't want him sleeping. And I found that really helped. On the other side, when he was younger, if he didn't get his sleep, then the bedtime routine would go crazy because he would be so exhausted that I just couldn't get him to settle down at all.
Yeah, I find with me, I'll admit it, nap times in our house, it's difficult because I'm a person that's on the go. We like to go to a lot of different play groups and things in the afternoon. So I'm really bad with getting a proper nap time down for, especially for Finn right now, because, well, Finn is, he's 10 months now. And for instance, yesterday, he just did not want to nap because he wanted to play all day. We went to a play group in the morning and then we went to a play group in the afternoon. And sure enough, he fell asleep at probably about 5 o'clock, just as we were about to sit down and have supper. He fell asleep, and his nighttime sleep was just so broken up last night. And I think that had a big part to do with it because he just didn't get the sleep during the day that he really needed. And he still needs about 2 good naps a day.
Right.
And I think if you find that you find your toddlers are waking more at night, it may be because they still need at least 1 good nap. Sometimes, you know, if they're a younger toddler, like around a year, they may still be napping twice a day and need that shorter nap twice
right.
a day.
And I think, like when you were saying that you're busy and you had this play group and that play group, I think really when it comes down to it, if you're having like a little bit of trouble, then you find little ways to work it out. But if you're having constant trouble, then I think you have to evaluate, you know, what's really important and how is it affecting your life. So if, say, every day you're really, really busy, then maybe backing it up. Because really, when you think about it, once you've moved out of that, you can look back and think, oh, okay, I survived it. But when you're in the middle of it, you think this is never going to stop.
Oh, yeah.
But it is kind of a short time where you do have those struggles for that particular thing.
That's so true, Helen, and that kind of goes into, you know, where we're at. And even though yesterday, Finn, last night, his sleep was really broken up, it really didn't affect me that much because we, as you know, we and most of the members on CanadianParents.com, we are a co-sleeping family. So my sleep really wasn't broken up all that much because of the fact that he was waking. Although, I would like him to sleep longer periods of time for him. It didn't really bother me too much. And if that works for your family, sleeping together and having that family bed, then go with it. If not, then you may be swaying over to the other side of things where you need to work on doing a cry it out type thing, modified cry it out thing.
I know I remember when, even though we had, you know, routines for our kids, I do remember right around that toddler time where they started having those night terrors. And they wake up and they would really be out of sorts. Now, both of my kids slept in their own beds, but our bed has always been available whenever they want to. So they always start in their own bed, and that has worked really well for us. But now they don't come into our bed very often. Sam does sometimes, and Emmy does sometimes, but, I mean, she takes up half the bed since she's a teenager, almost teenager. We always said, you know, if you wake up, you can come in. Like, we never said, oh, go back into your bed or anything like that. So there was that element of safety there if they needed it.
Yeah, I guess that's similar to how we work our family bed as well, Helen. I generally will put Kieran in his own bed to fall asleep, and then he generally wakes up pretty much every night. He will wake up. And at 3, he just turned 3, he just kind of saunters into our room and cuddles in and ends up spending the rest of the evening in bed with us, which we don't mind. Now, Finn has his own space in our room as well. What we've done is, if you can find a safe way to do it, it's a great alternative. It's called a sidecarring of your crib, where I've actually removed one of the side rails from our crib and put it right up against our bed so it's exactly level with our mattress on our bed. And, I mean, to do this safely, you need to make sure that there's no gaps that they can fall down into. And I believe there's a couple posts on sidecarring cribs and the instructions on how to do it and to make sure that, you know, it's a safe way to do it. But it's a great alternative if you have a smaller bed and you have the room in your bedroom to bring the crib into your room. It's a great way for a toddler to have his own space in your bedroom as well.
Now, for you were saying about crying it out, like I know that there are so many reasons why people want their child in their bed and others that they don't, or they get to a point where maybe they don't, and it is a personal choice. But I think when Emmy was young and we were having a bit of trouble with her, I read, you know, every book that I could find, the Ferber idea of letting them cry it out. And I think you have to go with what is comfortable for you and what is right for you, not what's right for anybody else. But I think that gut instinct is really important when it comes to raising our children in general, but especially with sleep. So letting your child cry it out, for some people, they're okay with that. Or they may know their child so well that it's almost like part of a letdown that they cry and then it helps them to relax, where other people might feel differently and they might not want their child to cry it out.
It's a big thing when it comes to the child as well, because individual children, they will react completely different to cry it out.
Yes. Yeah.
Like for instance, my daughter, I did a kind of a modified form of cry it out with her. I was a single mom when I had her. So it was just me dealing with bedtime. I didn't have any relief person in there helping me out. And I had to work first thing in the morning. So I couldn't have her up 2 and 3 times a night. So I kind of worked a modified method of cry it out with her, and where I would, right at bedtime, I would let her cry for 5 minutes, walk in, make sure that she knew I was there, and then come back out. And then I would just continually do this until eventually she learned that, you know, I was there and I was going to come and get her if she needed me. And if she cried for more than 15 minutes, then she would come in to my room with me, or I'd sit in her room and in her rocking chair and rock her till she was almost out. And I found putting her down in that sleepy state but yet not fully asleep seemed to work for her.
Right. Well, I would say we did something very similar. And I remember speaking to a parenting expert when Emmy was young, saying, you know, what is the best way? And she relayed the same information I say, is that you got to go with your gut instinct, and you get to know your child and know what will work, and you try different things. But she said that she was a little anti, like, holding your child to sleep. But what she suggested was, if they're going to sleep in their own bed, to be in the room but not in their bed, and just to give them a sense that they're okay, similar to what you did, and that's what we did. So I put them to bed, and I'd say, you know, I'll be back in a few minutes, and then they might cry, and then I'd go back in to reassure them. Because what she said is that, you know, a child who's 2, 2 and a half, they don't really understand the concept, I'm going to be back. When they see you leave, they don't know that you're coming back. They don't even know where you're gone. And I think at some point it does click where they understand that you will come back. But if they're young or unaware, then you have to understand that they could go into a bit of a panic thinking, like, where is she going? Is she coming back? So I would keep going back, and I would go out, wait for a couple minutes, go back in and say, oh, you know, I hope you have a nice sleep, and give them a little rub. And then I'd go out again, and I would just keep doing that and just make the time away a little bit more. With Sam, it seemed as though I didn't do it on purpose, but I had to, because I was trying to put Emmy to bed. So I'd say, okay, Sam, I'll be right back, and just going to tuck Emmy in. And then I would go back, and then I'd go back and forth. And it just seemed like it worked really well for him. And even to this day, I still kind of put my kids to bed in a similar way. And it's not that they need me there because they're older now, but they really enjoy the time that I put into bedtime. So I think it's a wise investment to spend a bit of time at bedtime, because I know there are parents who would just want their kids to go in their bed and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that many kids who just go to bed and that is it. I think it takes a little bit of effort even as they get older. Do you find that even with your older?
Yeah, I find that Mackenzie at bedtime, that's the time when she wants to kind of spend with me and chat with me and, you know, talk about the day. I find that when she gets home from school, she's not really big on talking about what happened during the day. And I find she needs that little bit of downtime with just one-on-one time with me, just to chat before bed and, you know, say her I love yous and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Emmy's the same. One thing I wanted to mention, because our son has Asperger's syndrome, which is like a high-functioning autism, when he still has a fair number of sensory issues, but when he was young, he had quite a few. And our occupational therapist made some recommendations to help him get to sleep, because it was almost like his body couldn't just relax. The Canadian Parents Occupational Expert had a question recently from a mum who was asking about weighted equipment for the child, specifically for sleep. And anyone who has a child with sensory integration dysfunction or any sort of sensory issues has probably heard about weighted blankets and weighted vests. Her recommendation wasn't necessarily to use a weighted blanket, but of course you should speak to your own specialist or occupational therapist about it if your child is having difficulty getting to sleep. But she suggested that for some kids who have sensory problems, that just creating kind of like using those big body pillows can give a sense of security to the child. So you could have a 2-year-old who you don't know has sensory problems. So I think if you are having kind of like extreme problems with sleep, that it might be a sign that be worth just asking your pediatrician about whether or not you could see a sensory specialist or occupational therapist just to make sure that they don't have any sort of sensory problems that might be getting in the way of them getting a proper night's sleep.
That's a really great point, Helen. So I guess I'm just going to end off with a great little tip that I have from another one of our members. So if you're having trouble tucking your toddler in, here's a tip from Mom of Liam, May 31st. It says, my little Liam is 2. What we do is go up to mine and my husband's room. First we ask, do you want to go to bed or snuggle? Obviously, he always picks snuggle first. Then we go in, snuggle in the dark, sing songs, talk a little bit, and snuggle, of course. Then we tell him we hear his stuffed animals, Teeboo, Elmo, Glowworm, and Puffin. And they say they want to snuggle now. And if he says no, then I'll say, okay, well, Mummy's going to snuggle them. And then, of course, he gets up and goes to bed. We both tuck him in, give him a hug and a kiss each. So I thought that was a really cute way to get everyone back down to bed.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today. For more information on today's podcast, visit momtalk.ca, and for additional resources on toddlers and sleep, there are many great articles on canadianparents.com. Or if you'd like to discuss sleep issues or strategies with other parents, make sure you check out canadianparents.com message boards, where you'll find in the ages and stages area, the toddler and preschooler board.